Some Jews, firm to principle, influenced idolatrous companions. The covenant mercy of God led him to interpose in behalf of his people Israel after their severe chastisement before their enemies. Israel had chosen to walk in her own wisdom and righteousness in the place of the wisdom and righteousness of God, and as a result her nation was ruined. God permitted them to suffer under a double yoke, that they might be humiliated and repent. But in their dispersion and captivity, the Jews were not left in a hopeless state. Encouragement was given them, for through this humiliation they were to be brought to seek the Lord. God gave to Isaiah a message for this people, quoted, "When the Jews were dispersed from Jerusalem, there were among them young men and women who were firm as a rock to principle, men and women who had not pursued a course to make the Lord ashamed to call them his people. These were sad at heart for the backsliding which they could not prevent. These innocent ones must suffer with the guilty, but God would give them strength sufficient for their day. It was to them that the message of encouragement was sent. The hope of the nation lay in those young men and maidens who would preserve their integrity. And in their captivity these obedient ones had an influence over their idolatrous companions. Had all who were taken captive held firmly to correct principles, they would have imparted light in every place where they were scattered. But they remained impenitent, and still heavier punishment came upon them. Their calamities were sent for their purification. God would bring them to the place where they would be instructed." Israel fully instructed regarding coming Savior, Isaiah saw Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem amid the praises and rejoicing of the people. His prophetic words are eloquent in their simplicity. Quoted, "Inspiration is revealed in this record of Christ's work. These closing chapters of the book of Isaiah should be diligently studied, for they are full of the gospel of Christ. They reveal to us that Israel was fully instructed in regard to the coming Savior. Our daily reward, whenever he comes to us, his reward is with him. He does not leave it in heaven, but gives it to us every day. Daily he gives us confidence and light and blessing. Daily our hearts beat in unison with his great heart of infinite love. Man can teach God nothing." Quoted, "Men sometimes suppose that they discover new scientific truths, but they cannot teach God anything. Our God is a God of infinite knowledge." Questions for meditation. These questions are directed to us as truly as they were to the Israelites. Can we answer them? Varieties of God's men worship. The Lord urges his supremacy. But Satan well knows that the worship of the living God elevates, ennobles, and exalts a nation. He knows that idol worship does not elevate, but that it degrades man's ideas, by associating with worship that which is base and corrupt. He is at work constantly to draw the mind away from the only true and living God. He leads men to give honor and glory to objects that human hands have made or to soulless creatures that God has created. The Egyptians and other heathen nations had many strange gods, creatures of their own fanciful imagination. The Jews, after their long captivity, would not make any image. The image on the Roman ensign or banner, they called an abomination, especially when these emblems were placed in a prominent place for them to respect. Such respect they regarded as a violation of the second commandment. When the Roman ensign was set up in the holy place in the temple, they looked upon it as an abomination. To make an image of God dishonors him. No one should bring into service the power of imagination to worship that which belittles God in the mind and associates him with common things. Those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. They must exercise living faith. Their worship will then be controlled not by the imagination, but by genuine faith. Let men worship and serve the Lord God, and him only. Let not selfish pride be lifted up and served as a god. Let not money be made a god. If sensuality is not kept under the control of the higher powers of the mind, base passion will rule the being. Anything that is made the subject of undue thought and admiration, absorbing the mind, is a god chosen before the Lord. God is a searcher of the heart. he distinguishes between true heart service and idolatry. Angels enlighten minds as we study God's works. God calls men to look upon the heavens. See him in the wonders of the starry heavens. Quoted, we are not merely to gaze upon the heavens, we are to consider the works of God. He would have us study the works of infinity, and from this study, learn to love and reverence and obey him. The heavens and the earth with their treasures are to teach the lessons of God's love, care, and power. Satan will manufacture his diversions that men may not think about God. The world, filled with sport and pleasure-loving, is always thirsting for some new interest. And how little time and thought are given to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. God calls upon his creatures to turn their attention from the confusion and perplexity around them, and admire his handiwork. The heavenly bodies are worthy of contemplation. God has made them for the benefit of man, and as we study his works, angels of God will be by our side to enlighten our minds, and guard them from satanic deception. As you look at the wonderful things God's hand has made, let your proud, foolish heart feel its dependence and inferiority. As you consider these things, you will have a sense of God's condescension. All bounties come to man through the cross, the sun and the moon were made by him. There is not a star that beautifies the heavens which he did not make. There is not an article of food upon our tables that he has not provided for our sustenance. The stamp and superscription of God is upon it all. Everything is included in and abundantly supplied to man, through the one unspeakable gift, the only begotten Son of God. He was nailed to the cross that all these bounties might flow to God's workmanship,